I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in Dunstable, the undisputed town in Bedfordshire. The name Dunstable is derived from an early English word meaning not quite Luton. The 17th century mathematician and scientist William Beadwell was born in Dunstable. He was the first person in England to accept that the Earth isn't flat and that it revolves around the sun, and is still known by the people here as that loony. A pioneer of algebra, Beadwell corresponded with Galileo, who encouraged Beadwell to invent the plus sign, parentheses, brackets, and the equal sign, so he could end his sentences with an unconvincing sideways smiley face. The pressure of his work in algebra caused Beadwell to divorce several times, but he stayed friends with his ex-wife, which plus his Y-wife equals N-wives. After the First World War, the aerodrome at Cardington became the home of Britain's hydrogen airship production. On its maiden flight, the R-38 mysteriously burst into flames. Then the R-47 mysteriously caught fire and the R-101 mysteriously burned to ashes as it landed. Their test pilot, Archie Scott Brown, was downhearted but cheered up when he learned he'd won Pipe Smoker of the Year. TV's Carol Vorderman was born in Bedford. Miss Vorderman left Countdown when her contract was up for renewal. She was expected to take a 90% cut in her £1 million salary, at which point she told the producer to stick the new contract up his vowel consonant consonant vowel. Before the war, Britain's largest car plant was the Luton Vauxhall factory. In 1940, the factory switched to building the Sherman tank, meeting the war effort's urgent need for more rhyming slang. Dunstable Priory is one of the few monastic buildings which survived Henry VIII's purge. Pilgrims today travel there to see the recently discovered relics. But they're not alone in saying a prayer at the site of ancient relics. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Pryor and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Tony Hawks. And enthusiastic as ever to keep an eye on the team's points, please welcome our fragrant scorer, the delightful Samantha. Okay, well, we'll start this week with a round about spelling mistakes, because everyone finds spelling mistakes furry. Now, this round was suggested by Graham Garden, who is about to publish a book on the correct way to write. He just has to finish dotting the T's and crossing the I's. Then it's off to the publisher for proofreading. So, teams, I'll ask you to suggest examples of spelling mistakes you may have spotted which might have caused anything from mild inconvenience to complete disaster. We'll start with you, please, Borey.
All right, Jock. In case of emergency, break wind with hammer.
Tim.
Dogs must be curried on the escalator.
Tony?
Do now leap out of the window.
Graham?
The zoo, do not feel the gorilla.
Sign in stores, shirtlifters will be persecuted.
Ladies to let.
And one I've seen on a packet of moussaka contains mince, potatoes, aborigines.
Cyclists must ride on the psychopath.
Smoking pauses dancer.
Mind the Jap.
Please show your appreciation by putting your hands together and crapping.
The Conservative Panty Conference.
No tools are left in this man overnight.
Extreme weather warning. Torrential pain followed by sleep and a large dump of snot.
The Mayor of London, Doris Johnson. Walker's potato crisis.
Oh, that's probably enough smelling piss takes. So let's move on, because it's music time now with the game called One Song to the Tune of Another. In One Song to the Tune of Another, the teams will attempt to sing the words taken from one song to the tune taken from a different song, played by Colin Sell at the piano. To make the game even more of a challenge, Colin will play the tune in a way which makes them virtually unrecognisable. Just like he does in all the other rounds. So, Tim, we'll start with you, if we may. I'd like you to sing the words of Beautiful by Christina Aguilera to the tune of Men of Harlech.
Every day is so wonderful, then suddenly it's hard to breathe. Now and then I get insecure from all the pain. I'm so ashamed, I am beautiful, no matter what they say, words can't bring me down. I'm beautiful in every single way. Yes, words can't bring me down, so don't you bring me down. Today all your friends, you're delirious, so consumed in all your doom. Trying hard to fill the emptiness, the piece is gone, left the puzzle underdone. That's the way it is, you're beautiful no matter what they say.
Great the way you leapt into that. There's a great thing about Tim, he's never been affected by success. You now, Barry, I'd like you to sing the words of My Favourite Things to the tune of The Funeral March.
Raindrops and roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies, crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells, and schnitzel with noodles.
Your turn, Graham. I'd like you to sing the words of Michael Jackson's Thriller to the tune of the Monty Python theme.
It's close to midnight and something evil's lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight you see a sight that almost stops your heart. You try to scream but terror takes the sound before you make it. You start to freeze as horror looks you right between the eyes. You're paralyzed, but it's still a thriller night.
and no one's gonna save you from the beast about to strike. You know it's thriller, thriller, night you're fighting for. Your life is either killer, thriller tonight. Hey!
Tony, finally you. Tony, I'd like you to sing the words of Model of a Modern Major General to the tune of Mad World by Gary Jules.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal and mineral. I know the kings of England and I quote the fights historical. From Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. And I'm very well acquainted with matters mathematical. I understand equations, both simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with lots of news and many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
The next round is called Word for Word, and it's a sort of word association game. Actually, I recently did some of these word association tests at the doctor's, and he said I might have ADHD, I think it was. I wasn't really listening. Word for Word is the reverse of an association test, where all the suggested words should be totally unconnected. Tim and Tony, you can start exchanging your random words, while Barry and Graham, you should listen carefully and challenge with a buzzer to take over play if you detect a connection. So off you go, please, Tim and Tony.
Catamaran.
Thoroughfare.
Cactus.
Stencil.
Pusillanimous.
Filibuster.
Barry.
I've got an album at home, Pusillanimous Filibuster. It's by Anne Widdicombe.
Could we hear a bit of it, Barry?
Widdicombe. Widdicombe is the name. Dancing. Dancing is my game. Anne is my first name. Don't you wish that you were the same?
I can give you that. Obviously, it's obviously true because you know the song so well, Barry. So it's over to you, Barry and Graham.
Adamant.
Cow.
Straight away, it was
yeah.
Tony.
Well, Adamant dressed up as a cow in one of his videos.
I think I seem to remember that, Tony. Yeah, I think you're quite right. I think you're quite right about that. Back to you, Barry and Graham.
Me?
Yeah.
That was my word.
You.
Oh.
I think there might be some connection between me and you.
Would you say it, that? Tim? Yeah, you say it. What is the connection, though? Define it.
It's about 4.5 inches.
Tim, you don't have to tell us this. Well, I accept that there is a connection between me and you. You were quite right to interrupt. Back to you, Barry and Graham.
Dormant.
Desk.
Funicular.
Chalk.
Holistic.
Fork.
Ah, another interruption from Tony.
I'm sure I've had a holistic fork somewhere in my life.
Fork.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
I can't let you have it if you just misheard it, Tony. Barry and Graham.
Still.
Yeah.
Your turn, Baz.
Yes?
What?
That's my work.
Tractor.
Jelly.
Nevertheless.
Although.
What?
What?
Well, nevertheless and although, they're both very words. Similar.
Nevertheless and although are virtually the same.
Perhaps you'd like to define them both, Barry.
What?
About 3:15.
You know, this Ann Widdecombe album...
Remind us what it was called again, Barry.
What? You know what it was called.
I'd like you to sing another track. Okay, well, that's enough of that. Is what I meant to say 10 minutes ago. The next round is our tribute to Gardner's Question Time, which recently marked 65 years on air with an audience of invited celebrities. Barry Cryer went along, but they said it was for invited celebrities. This week, in Jack's Topical Garden Tips, I'll be demonstrating the art of topiary. I shall start pruning, and there'll be a bonus point for the first panellist who can tell me what it is I'm shaping. OK, here I go. Okay, teams, any idea what it is?
Is it a hedge?
Yes, it is. Well done. And on to the next round. Well, now, this round is played in tribute to Edward Lear, the writer famous for his nonsense poems. Today, we're concentrating on limericks. The standard form of a limerick relies on a 5-line stanza with the defining foot of its metre being the anapest in a modified iambic pentameter and the fact that Vickers rhymes with knickers. Well, I'll read out a classic Edward Lear limerick, minus its last line, and teams should try to come up with a better closing line than the original. So, Tony, we'll come to you first. There was an old man with a beard who said, "It is just as I feared. 2 owls and a hen, 4 larks and a wren."
No wonder this pasty tastes weird.
The original was, "Have all built their nests in my beard," so I prefer yours. Barry.
Yes.
This is one for you to finish. There was an old person of Hurst who drank when he was not athirst. When they said, "You'll grow fatter," he answered, "What matter?"
Then farted and suddenly burst.
Tim. There was an old person of Burton whose answers were rather uncertain. When they said, "How do you do?" he replied, "Who are you?"
"Would you kindly replace the shower curtain?"
Graham. There was an old man with a nose who said, "If you choose to suppose that my nose is too long, you are certainly wrong."
Then he rolled it up just like a hose.
Here's some for any of you to have a go at. There was an old man on a hill who seldom, if ever, stood still. He ran up and down in his grandmother's gown.
And was excluded from grandfather's will.
There was an old man of Calcutta who perpetually ate bread and butter till a great bit of muffin on which he was stuffing...
"Said she'd rather have cake, you old nutter."
Finally, there was an old person of Tring who embellished his nose with a ring. He gazed at the moon every evening in June.
Until his Prince Albert went ping.
Now, the next round is all about public apologies. The Deputy Prime Minister, Nick Clegg, apologised over tuition fees, but the Lib Dems are still looking for a replacement leader who'd be more popular with the public. Abu Hamza, for example. Rupert Murdoch apologised over the phone hacking scandal. He spoke personally to Tim Brooke-Taylor to apologise that his journalists had hacked every message from Tim's agent for the last 15 years. What an intrusion of privacy to hear Tim's agent had dialed the wrong number both times. In this round, each team will make a public apology, but they don't know what it is they're apologising about. And the opposing team will be journalists at the press conference. So the team apologising has to work out what they've done from the questions that they're asked. Now, the first team to make a full and unreserved apology will be Tim and Tony. But first, the nature of your offence will be displayed to our theatre audience via the laser display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Tim and Tony ate all the pies. Tim and Tony ate all the pies.
So, Tim and Tony, you start apologising now, please. Off you go.
Well, we just want to say right from the outset... We're very sorry about what's happened.
I mean, do you have anything to say to the people who are most affected by this?
We'd like to say we're very, very, very sorry.
Yes.
No, we mean that. Quite.
Yeah. But what do you say to Eamon Holmes, for example?
Yes.
Morning, Eamon.
He's not alone in this. This has been building up. Vanessa Feltz has given her own press conference on this very subject.
Yes. As indeed has Eric Pickles.
Not to mention Russell Grant, so no. I won't.
No, he didn't.
Well,
he didn't see it coming at all. Admittedly, from your point of view, you haven't suffered from it. You've been given the freedom of Melton Mowbray.
Mm-hmm.
But some people have been badly affected.
They have.
Yeah. Simple Simon, for example.
Well.
Is it who ate all the pies?
Right, well, it's your turn to apologise now, Barry and Graham. The nature of your offence will now be displayed via the laser display screens. While here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Barry and Graham are Boris Johnson's hairdressers. Barry and Graham are Boris Johnson's hairdressers.
So, ready with your questions, please, Tim and Tony. Off you go, Barry and Graham.
Can we say right away, we do regret it?
Yes. Very, very sorry for any public upset or distress we may have caused.
Well, there's been quite a bit, yes. Now, whilst we accept that it is a two-man job...
Yep.
couldn't at least one of you have gone on a course?
That public exposure of this has made it much more difficult to appreciate.
Well, what course was it exactly? And did it in any way involve sheep?
If any sheep have been affected, there is a helpline that they can call. I mean, we're more than ready to offer financial compensation where proper.
I don't think that would be called for.
Really. No, I mean, well, why did you use a bread knife? and couldn't you have sharpened it?
Yeah.
We applaud your attempts to save electricity.
Yeah.
Mm.
But you could have turned the lights on, couldn't you? When you're working.
Yes. That's something we've learnt, and we'll take that into account going forward.
Just as a matter of interest, did you work on the Dulux dog ad?
I can't remember. The lights were out.
Look, you ruined it for the Labour Party with Michael Foote, didn't you? Why switch allegiance in this way?
We're loyal. We're loyal by nature. We don't chop and change.
Well, you don't chop very well, yeah, anyway. Yeah.
To be honest, it was partly his own fault. He came in saying he wanted to be a lovable mop top. Boris.
Yeah, Boris. Bless.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a round of the Scottish songbook. Scotland's flag derives from Andrew, their patron saint, who was crucified by the Romans on a cross in the shape of an X. And you have to feel sorry for the other seven who were crucified just so those Romans could finish that game of giant noughts and crosses. So, Graham, will you please start?
Fly me to Dunoon.
Barry?
Sitting on the Jock of the Bay.
Tim?
Three wee kings.
Tony?
Galloway's look on the bright Clyde of Fife.
Pardon me, boy, is this the Ochtamachty choo-choo?
You'd have had your tea for two.
Haggis, that's why they call it the blues.
You must remember this, haggis is still haggis. Please, police, please let me go.
Hey, you, get off of MacLeod.
Uptown Ian Rankin.
Life on deep fried Mars.
Itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot sporran.
Hello, Jack.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the Grand Prix winner of time throws the magnum of destiny over the adoring fans of fate and they go off to wash ice cream out of their hair, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Dunstable, it's goodbye. Goodbye!
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrooke Taylor and Tony Hawkes were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.